One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Odyssey, Rockfin, Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing and continued support. We couldn't do it without you. This show has been the number one show, according to Chartable, in the government section of iTunes in America, Canada, Australia, and over 20 other countries. I appreciate it. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. If you want to help this show grow, please take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and family. That's worked so far, so good. We don't have an ad campaign or anything like that. The algorithms hate us. We're not going to get any support from them. So I'm going to kind of put it up, leave it in your hands to spread the word. I certainly do appreciate it if you want to rate the show and do all that stuff. The algorithms like it. I don't really care one way or the other, but it apparently matters to them. So we play their game for as long as we have to. Hey, thanks to the sponsors, without whom this show would not be happening. My Patriot Supply has been nice enough to build us a landing page called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. The link will be in the show notes. You can just click it and go. They have everything. They really do. They've got all kinds of stuff. They've got, but they've set up a special promotion for us for the 1 month supply and the 3 month supply. There's discounts on them. So definitely take a look, check it out. If you're thinking, well, you know, this supply chain issue looks like it might actually not be going away anytime soon. And these fires at these food processing facilities, they seem rather strange. Yeah, they do. They are. That's because they're being made to happen. So let's not sit back and just wait for things to magically get better. Let's be proactive. Let's start thinking about things and let's get honest with ourselves. We've got a food situation coming our way. The good news is, and there's not much good news, but the good news is we can see it because of the delayed reaction of the supply chain breaking down and these maniacs in Washington, D.C. telegraphing their plans. They're saying, we're going to have food issues. We've already got fuel problems. We've got possibly a rail strike at some point. We have port issues. We have China refusing to send us things. We have Russia refusing to sell us fertilizer. Good times, right? This is the making of, starvation situation. So I don't like to scare people. I don't think it's healthy, but I think I would be doing you a disservice if I wasn't very direct about the real threat that we face with regard to, well, a lot of things. But in this case in particular, we're just talking about food. You can solve that problem in about 10 minutes on your computer. You can just buy some food, have it drop shipped to you. Maybe you're in a position where you already have food, or you've got more money than time and you want to hook up your family members that live out of state and buy some food and have it shipped to them. They'll appreciate it. They'll think you're crazy early on, but they'll come to appreciate your ability to, I don't know, it'll look like you're seeing the future to them. You're not. You're just getting honest about what we see, what we face. So preparewithmacroaggressions.com is a good place for you to start. But look, if you don't use my sponsors, that's cool too. I'm not going to be offended, but please get yourself prepared. Just go to the store, buy extra food, do it in a way that sets you up for success, because we all know this is coming. It's not going to get any better by ignoring it or pretending that it's going away or saying, oh, manana, you know, no, we can't afford that. They need us to think that way. And we will not do that. So think proactively. I think that's kind of the theme of this show, really, is to sort of see what's coming, analyze it, get honest about it, and then make moves accordingly. Thanks to our other sponsor, or one of our other sponsors, C60 Purple Power. They have a website. It's called shopc60.com. You can check it out and read up about this magic potion that they're selling. It really is kind of a cool substance. And Ken, the scientist, the CEO, he's a friend now. We've done plenty of shows together. He's been on this show. I've done shows with him that wind up on Rockfin. We talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. But I'll tell you what, he's making the best C60 product out there. Don't ask me. A lot of people are saying the same thing. They are a local business based out in Boulder, Colorado, not too far from where I am. They're great. They understand. They understand. The people that are running the C60 Purple Power, they understand what's going on. They're not normies. They get it. And part of this is that, you know, they're providing a product that will help you take care of yourself. You're going to need it. You can't sit back and wait for, I don't know, Big Agra or Big Pharma to fix you. You're going to have to fix yourself. You're going to have to look into things that aren't being talked about on the nightly news, that maybe can't be talked about on the nightly news for fear of sabotaging the entire pharmaceutical industry. Because when people find out that there are products out there that actually work, that really make you feel better, that the guys that discovered the C60 molecule won the Nobel Prize for it, like, this is kind of a big deal. And so I think if you're unsure or unfamiliar, maybe you've heard me talk about this a bunch of times before and you're like, what is this stuff? Do this. Just go to the website and read up about it. ShopC60.com. Use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself some money. The link will be in the description. There's free shipping inside the United States. All their products are third-party tested, certified for purity, quality, and concentration. It's sublimated C60. It's 99.99% pure sublimated C60, never exposed to solvents. It's made with 100% certified organic oils. It's produced in an FDA-compliant GMP-certified facility. They did all that stuff. It's legit. Take a look for yourself and see what you think. ShopC60.com, promo code MACRO. Well, it's school shooting season again. Don't you know? I mean, it seems like this goes on every couple years. We get put through the ringer where we have these mass shootings. And is it possible that these mass shootings could be organic and authentic? Sure. Absolutely. It is possible. It's also possible that we could get hit by a comet tomorrow as well. I think it's more likely that we were get hit by a comet sometime in the next couple of days than for these school shootings to be authentic. I don't think they are. And I know, it sounds like I'm just some conspiracy theorist with my ideas and everything. And maybe I am, but the problem is the ideas that I have about these things aren't, I'm not, you know, I'm not making up my reasons for it. We've got a long history. We can look back on shootings in the past. We can look back on warnings about shootings. We can look back on drills that went live. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that this stuff isn't accidental, and that I'm not imagining things, and that you're not imagining things, and that when you watch these interviews post-shooting with the family, and that and you're hearing the words and you're seeing what you're seeing, but there's something in your brain that's going, I can't put my finger on it, but something seems off with this. These people are not acting the way I would think you would act after one of these shootings, like when your kid is shot or your kid is missing or you're unsure about the situation. And I get it. Look, I want to be crystal clear. Everybody grieves differently, right? And we've all had some issue where we've had a moment of grief. Some people react, you know, with anger. Some people burst into tears. Some people get very quiet. I'm not, you know, it's probably not fair to criticize a person for their reaction to something like this without knowing a little bit more, or at least without having a larger sample size. One person acts unusual, but everybody else acts kind of in the same, you know, in a normal way. You go, well, okay, maybe it's real. When you see one of the Uvalde school shooting, that's what we're going to get into that in a little bit. When you see that and the interviews with the parents, you go, okay, I understand that people grieve in different ways, but was everybody given sedatives that day or something? Was everybody, you know, I heard a lot of talking. Didn't see any tears though. I didn't see any tears. So we're going to get into that a little bit, because I think that we've got a problem. And I'm not, to be fair, I'm not looking for another fake school shooting. Or when I say fake school shooting, let me clarify. School shooting that isn't as it's being portrayed in the media. I leave it a little open-ended on that. I'm not looking for one of these things, another one of these things. I don't want this. I'm just analyzing what's put in front of me. And what's put in front of me are these Buffalo shootings at the grocery store and the Uvalde shooting in Texas. And I have questions. Of course I have questions. But the reason why I have questions is because my default mechanism is set to be skeptical of these, because I've seen so many of them that gave me reason to be skeptical about them. So I'm not just, like I said, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm not making this into some issue just because I want to have something to talk about on the show. Again, I'd rather talk about unicorns and rainbows and baseball and football and all that stuff than talk about school shootings. I don't like them. It's not what I'm looking for. But again, the whole point of the show is to try and figure out what the fuck is going on in this world, right? And I look at an event like this, and I see very large flaws. The same as that school in Connecticut that we're not allowed to talk about. You know, I live not too far from Columbine High School. If you go on YouTube and you make a video about Columbine, it'll stay up and live in peace and harmony on YouTube's platform for as long as you want to keep it up. If you do a video about the Connecticut school, you will get a strike, and more than likely, well, there's a chance that your channel will just be completely deleted. Every strike I got on Facebook was related to that. All of them. And I wasn't even like going off the deep end either, like posting, reposting memes of like a bulldoze, you know, where it's totally bulldozed and the tagline above the meme says, now that's how you destroy evidence. Posting that and then getting put in a 30-day ban And then while I'm in the 30-day ban, getting put in another 30-day ban. All these from posts about these that school shooting that I posted in 2017, and the ban's happening in 2019. So there's a weird connection to, you know, they don't want you talking about that one. That one is a third rail. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And I can't get into them on this platform right now in this incarnation of macroaggressions. But I have news coming in the near future that will explain away this. We've got some big ideas and big things that are going to be happening here with the channel. So we're going to get ourselves to a place where we can talk about that. So, and I'll tell you all about that later. But I want to talk about, at least start with, the chapter in Bill Cooper's book, chapter 12 of Behold a Pale Horse. That is a book that has, it's sort of up there in the, it's a legendary book. It's up there with Fingerprints of the Gods, and, you know, for me, Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock, Trigger by David Icke. There's some legendary books, and Behold a Pale Horse is one of them. And I'm going to read this quote from the book because I think it's really important to understand where we are. And I want you to know that what we're experiencing now is not new. Bill Cooper wrote about this. The book came out in 1991. So he wrote about this in advance. So this is from chapter 12. Quote, "The government encouraged the manufacture and importation of firearms for the criminals to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms. Using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called Orion, the CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. This plan is well underway and so far is working perfectly." That's Bill Cooper. This is Project Orion. This is a very effective tactic for bringing forth the discussion on gun control. It is essential. You cannot have gun control legislation without school shootings. Not in America. Nobody's given up their guns voluntarily here. They're going to have to be guilted into it. Nobody's going to take the guns. You know, like there's just a segment of society that is armed and they have the mentality. You can pry it from my cold, dead hands. That sort of philosophy. They're not ever giving up their guns. But then you've got a segment of the gun owning population that can be swayed because they have a gun, but they're not particularly married to the idea for any sort of philosophical reason. Maybe they just have, you know, they've just have guns. They had a gun, like, I'm going to protect my family, that sort of thing. But they're a little bit more malleable. And the government knows that. And I quoted Mao in the Octopus book, who said, "You disarm the population before the slaughter." Right? I've mentioned that many times on this show. It's not even really so much like a insightful quote as it is just sort of like a step one in the instruction manual. And he would know. You know, before the Great Leap, they disarmed the population. And then they killed anywhere, depending on the reports you've seen, anywhere from 50 to 70 million people. Million people. 50 million. Let's take the low end. Let's go on the low end and say he killed 50 million people. That's a lot of people. So it's like one out of every seven Americans just getting shot. We saw this in Cambodia with Pol Pot, where he wiped out 25% of the population. This is insanity. But of course, they're correct in their assessment. You have to disarm the population before you start going on these rampages. And and Mao and Pol Pot and all these people, they didn't come to power saying, when I get to power, I'm going to disarm the population and then slaughter all these people. That's never the sales pitch. That would be a shitty sales pitch. People would go, oh, okay, I'm not giving you my gun if the plan is you want to kill me with it later, once you take it from me. I'm not giving you the gun. No. The sales pitch is always, you know, that they're bringing people together. You know, we're looking out for everybody. This, the communist manifesto and Marxism and all this stuff, you know, they're talking about, no. I'm going to come to power and unite all of us. I'm going to come to power and be the bridge that makes everybody come together and work together. That's never what's really going to happen. They're not interested in bringing people together. If you bring everybody together, what do they need the dear leader for? They need the dear leader when there's division. And so any sales pitch that we're going to come, you know, I'm going to come in here and we're all going to live together, whether it's the World Economic Forum selling that bullshit, or it's George Soros, or it's Joe Biden, or it's Xi, or whoever. It's a lie that has to be told to the general public in order to get them to go along with a disarmament. Because look, I'm going to bring you guys all together and make everybody happy, and therefore you don't need a gun. We're all going to be together and we're going to be happy. The reality of the situation is they don't intend to do any of that. So the sales pitch is a lie. Once they come to power, then they take all the guns, keep that division, and decide who lives and who dies. Happened in the Soviet Union, happened in Germany, happened in Cambodia, happened in China. It'll happen somewhere else as well. So the gun component needs a common motivation in order to fuel this talk of disarmament. And the common motivation is school shootings. Because nobody wants to see schools shot up. They don't want to see kids killed. They don't want to think about that. Even if they don't have kids, they were a kid and they went to school. Or maybe their grandparents' age and they've got grandchildren that they don't. Nobody wants to see kids in schools shot up. I mean, if you watch Libs of TikTok, maybe there might be some justification to take a gun into a school one of these days. I'm only kidding. I'm just saying. So look, the gun control agenda is tied to school shootings, and the school shootings are tied to the intelligence agencies, because the intelligence agencies are part of this push to disarm the population. It's all connected. So let's go back to the Obama administration. I mean, let's not, but in our minds, let's go back to the Obama administration. You remember Eric Holder, his attorney general, that scumbag piece of shit? Yeah, that guy who got busted with Operation Fast and Furious. You know what they were doing with Operation Fast and Furious? They were moving guns into the hands of criminals, don't you know? Just as Bill Cooper suggested. It's almost like Bill Cooper had a crystal ball. He just had a deep understanding of how things work. He understood. He knew the psychopath class. He knew how they thought. and he knew the tactics, and he understood history. I think that's the most important part, is that you have to understand history. A lot of this stuff repeats. These dear leaders in high places, if there's a play that works, they run that play over and over again until it doesn't work anymore. So there's no need to reinvent the wheel. There's no need to come up with all these fancy new technologies for how to do this or that. When you know that the most successful technology is disarm the population, then you can do whatever the fuck you want to them. Because remember, they're disarmed. They can't stand up to you. Now, I know there's an argument. What are you going to do? You're going to stand up with your pistol against a guy in a tank and everything? No. Sun Tzu, in his book, The Art of War, would suggest you do not attack your enemy where they are strong. That would be insane. You are correct, those people, those gun control activists that are saying, you know, you're going to be up against governments with missile launchers. That's true. You mean like the North Vietnamese? Or you mean like up against the most powerful army in the world? There's no way you could defeat them, right? Like the Taliban? A bunch of farmers in sandals and goat fuckers taking down a $1 trillion a year military? That could never happen, except it did. So it is important for the government to make sure that you do not have the advantage of being armed, whether it's, you know, guns or grenade launchers, whatever. They don't want you to have the ability to defend yourself. And it's not to say that the minute you're disarmed, they're going to start the slaughter. They might, but they may just continue to pass more draconian laws that whittle away your rights, take away your privacy, and slowly, incrementally put you into a position where you have nothing left. They could do that. Again, they don't have to shoot you. You can't do anything to them anyway, even if you wanted to. So gun control always happens in the following days of a shooting. We talked about Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, who had legislation ready to go 3 days after the Buffalo supermarket shooting. The Operation Gladio style Buffalo supermarket shooting. Very convenient, don't you think? It's like they just pre-write this stuff and have it sitting in their top drawer, ready to drop it whenever some totally normal, completely authentic shooting happens in their jurisdiction, don't you know? Yeah, yeah. I think it's important to now introduce the concept of, and this one's a weird one because it gets you into that woo-woo land, but it's very real and it's super dangerous, and that is the CIA's MK Ultra program. Now, Bill Cooper mentions this, not MK Ultra by name, but he said using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called Orion. The drugs and hypnosis is MK Ultra, and that is a CIA program for mind control. They did a lot of this stuff. This was the stuff they used those Operation Paperclip scientists for, you know, like the whoever the equivalent of Joseph Mengele was, who came over in Operation Paperclip from the Nazis. The guys that were really doing, like, I mean, I guess at the time, cutting edge brain experiments. You know, it's easy to do cutting edge brain experiments when you don't care if the test subject lives or dies, because you're testing it on prisoners or gypsies or Jews or whatever. And there's a lot of leeway when you're going to execute those people or work them to death anyway, you know. So we'll drill a hole in their head and add some battery acid and see what it does to them, you know, a la Jeffrey Dahmer. It turned this person into a, you know, turned him into a maniac, or they fell over dead or whatever. Okay, well, fine. grab your clipboard, write down the notes, turned person into maniac, turned the 14-year-old Vietnamese kid that Jeffrey Dahmer was trying to turn into a sex slave zombie into, you know, turned him into a zombie, right? Well, okay, write that down. Over time, the CIA took control of that operation called MKUltra, they ran the operation and perfected it, improved it. That's probably a better word. I don't know if you ever really perfect mind control, but they improved it to a point where they stopped being upfront about how effective it was. And so it's really hard to tell how the MKUltra program, how effective it is now, because you get to a certain point, it's like, it doesn't work, it kind of works, it's kind of sort of unpredictable, and then it's like all of a sudden it works, and it's like, whoop, then they shut up about it. So, you know, and this program was started with mind-altering drugs given to prisoners. It's where you keep some guy up on acid for like 2 weeks straight and see what it does to him, or think Clockwork Orange, eyeballs, you know, eyelids forced open, guys watching hardcore violent porn on a loop, you know, what does that do to you? It depends. If the plan is to turn somebody into a Manchurian candidate, like Sirhan Sirhan, who shot Robert Kennedy, then maybe it works. You know, how effective is it? How much can you control it? I don't know. Maybe the guy is programmed that whenever he sees a lady in a red blouse, he starts blasting, right? Well, that could work. The wrong person in a red blouse could walk by and he starts blasting, you know, so it's kind of hard to control this, but you know that it exists. And I'll tell you one way that if you want to be extra certain that it exists, where you can just go look at what happened in Atlanta back in 1982. The feds got busted for doing experiments, MKUltra experiments on prisoners. They had to pay these guys, and there was a bunch of them too, they had to pay them $500,000 each in 1982 dollars. So that's like, I don't know, maybe it's like $2 million or $1.5 million or something. This is what was, there's a list of side effects for these prisoners that were getting experimented on, you know, against their will, I'm sure. And here's the list: brain damage, flashbacks. One guy gnawed his arm off. Holy shit. That's like bath salts type stuff. They use chemicals on them. They use biological weapons on them. They use radioactive weapons on them. They use psychoactive weapons. They used LSD. They used truth serum. They used amphetamines. They used... They said they wanted to release them from self-control so that they can be programmed. And the records were destroyed by Dr. Sidney Gottlieb and they tried to bury it, except it finally came out and they wound up going to court and they lost, and they had to pay these prisoners $500,000 each for using them as lab rats, which is really shitty. But then again, welcome to America. This stuff goes on all the time. Are you familiar with Kathy O'Brien? Are you familiar with her story? She's done a lot of work with David Icke. They've talked quite a bit about her experiences being used, going through the MKUltra program, being turned into a sex slave. She talks specifically, even while this bastard was alive, she speaks specifically about George H.W. Bush, that he used a cattle prod on her multiple times, raped her multiple times while shocking her with cattle prods and things like that, because she was in the MKUltra program. So at its core, what this is, if you had to describe what MKUltra is, it's trauma-based mind control. Now, it sounds pretty ambitious. You know, mind control is an ambitious task here. But we know that trauma does that. We know that you can shatter somebody. You know, kids that are sexually exploited often have, they can develop multiple personalities because of that. They can, you know, dissociative disorders and basically try to, like, you know, they check out of the, you know, like their body's there, but their mind is a million miles away. That stuff never goes away. That never gets fixed. I mean, maybe intensive therapy and, you know, a really positive, optimistic attitude and a lot of work. I don't know. I don't know that you ever get fixed. I've reached out to Kathy O'Brien, invited her to come on the show. I haven't heard back. So I'd love to make that happen because I would like to know how she's doing. She's older now, you know, she's like grandparent age. And I'd love to know how she's, what the residuals are from that. But then again, you know, it's kind of her personal stuff and it's none of my business. But I am curious, though, to know how long that lasts. My assumption, well, it's more than an assumption, but my assumption is that it lasts forever, that it never really goes away. And when you look at the MKUltra program and you look at the school shootings, you're going to notice a thread that runs through them. And we'll get to that towards the end. But there is a common denominator that is undeniable. And I think it's something that we're going to have to talk about here. So here's a quote from David Reselda. When the public as a whole turns to government for solutions, they will get them in the form of more ineffective laws, more control, and in the end, socialism. Americans need to realize that the defense of their schools and communities is their responsibility, not the government's. It's a really good point because there's this misguided belief that we're just going to outsource these things to the government or to the police and say, well, that's your job to do this. That's your job, Valdi police, to go run into that building. And it is. But are you going to outsource the care of your kids to the police? I would never. I just would never. Because it has been proven in a court of law that the police have no obligation to protect you. It's true. It's not, you know, I don't like the police. I never have. And it would be easy for me to have my opinion that the police aren't there to protect you. And that would be my opinion. And it is my opinion. But I also want to differentiate because there's also proven in court that the judge ruled that the police have no obligation to protect you. It is not their obligation to do that. So to all the parents that were like, how come those cops didn't run into that building and get those kids out? Because they didn't have to. That's the shitty part. They didn't want to, and they didn't legally have to. And they weren't allowed to. And that's a bigger issue. But let's talk, before we get into the Uvalde thing, let's go back to... I don't know. Are we allowed to talk about Parkland? I don't think so. So I'm not going to do a deep dive on Parkland, but I will mention this. And anybody that follows me on Twitter knows that whenever I see a David Hogg tweet, I always have a comment for that guy. Hey, how come you have two stories about where you were during the Parkland thing? He's on video. One with ABC, one with CBS, I think. And in one video, he says, I was at home watching on TV when I saw what was happening. I grabbed my camera got on my bicycle and rode to school so that I could be there to witness it and to help. That's what he said in one interview. Then another interview, which was one day later, he said, when it happened, I was at school in my environmental studies class and we hid in a closet. Which is it? Can't be in two places at the same time. Perhaps you saw the overhead camera footage, helicopter footage of Parkland and the two guys in all black, loading big, large black duffel bags into the back of a white pickup truck, getting in and driving away. Funny, that wasn't mentioned. What about the interview that was on ABC with the teacher who says that she stuck her head out into the hallway and saw guys wearing full metal jacket, which is the description she gave, carrying rifles and shooting at people? That's not the description of Nicholas Cruz. He wasn't wearing any of that stuff. What about the interview with the girl who said that she was walking down the hallway with Nicholas Cruz when they heard shooting, and she said to him, wow, I thought if anyone would be doing the shooting, it'd be you. So we've got problems with that school shooting. And what happened in the wake of that? Gun control legislation. Right on schedule, right? Almost like it was made to happen. And the guys that made it happen were loading the big black duffel bags in the back of the truck and driving off. Now, I know. I sound crazy and unhinged. What about the video? What about the footage at the Connecticut school of the guy getting arrested on camera? I've watched the video. I don't have it. I should have saved it. The guy getting arrested, being dragged out of the woods in camouflage pants, saying to the cameraman, I'm innocent. I didn't do it. I'm innocent. You never heard of him? Funny, you didn't hear about him? He didn't make it into the narrative? Because he didn't fit. Because it's supposed to be just that, just Adam Lanza. Again, I'm limited in what I can say. But let's talk about the Uvalde school shooting, Robb Elementary. Okay. Big questions about this story. Salvador Ramos. Threatened online. He threatened to rape, kidnap, and murder people when he was in online chat rooms. I get thrown off of Twitter 2 years ago for jokingly suggesting, when are we going to throw Bill Gates into a volcano? And this guy is in chat rooms saying he's going to rape, kidnap, and murder people, and nobody does anything about it. He told people to kill themselves. He killed cats, had pictures of it, showed it to people, posted about it, was violent with women, was aggressive for no reason at all. Okay. Not a good kid. But is he a school shooter? Was he being radicalized? Was he being fronted with money and equipment? Well, for a kid that didn't have any money, he sure did have expensive weapons, ammunition, scopes, things like that. Now, a lot of people have talked about that. That's not breaking news. I think that was the first thing that sort of caught people's attention was, he's got a lot of really nice weaponry for a kid that is, you know, working a minimum wage job. He's got several thousand dollars worth of brand new equipment. But again, that could happen. I mean, unlikely, but possible. Maybe he had crypto before it tanked and Who knows? Maybe. I'm trying to give this person the benefit of the doubt. You know, I'm trying to not put on my tinfoil hat. But the problem is, when I get done with this list of things, you're going to be like, oh, you go ahead and keep that tinfoil hat squarely on your shiny little head. We saw that the cops wouldn't let parents in the school. Why do you think that is? I understand why the cops didn't go in the school, but why do you think the parents weren't allowed to go in the school? They weren't allowed to go into the school because they needed Operation Gladio, they needed Project Orion to be finished before the parents started running into the school. You can't interrupt a false flag in the middle of it happening and keep that story, keep the lid on that story. You can't do that. It was a stand down order that was given to those cops, which is the reason why they stood down. They didn't get it wrong. They didn't make a mistake. They were told, don't go in. Did you know that the school was using an artificial intelligence service called Social Sentinel that was looking for school shootings? Did you know that? Funny, the media didn't mention that, did they? They didn't talk about that. Did they mention that there was an active shooter drill on March 21st, 2022 at the same school? They didn't mention that either. I mean, again, hell of a coincidence. Just a couple weeks before too. What about the mugshot? Or what about the picture? I shouldn't say mugshot, but the picture of Salvador Ramos that the media turned from a Mexican guy into a white guy. Did you see that? Did you see that level of fuckery? ABC News is reporting that he could look like this. It's like, no. Why aren't you using his actual picture? Why did you take his picture and make him into a white person? Why? Why is the media doing that? Because they have an agenda, and that's part of it. So he crashes his truck and then gets out, gets chased by the cops, but still gets into the school. Explain to me on what planet any of that makes sense. You're just going to let this guy run into a school? Where'd he get the truck? Whose truck was it? Was it his? Was it his grandma's truck? If so, you crashed the truck that you're driving to the school shooting with in, and you run away because the cops are chasing you. Did you take your guns with you? Where are your guns? Because if you just crashed your truck and the cops are trying to get you, and then you grabbed all your guns, they'd shoot you. They didn't shoot you. Did you grab your guns? Did you leave your guns? Were there any guns? Did this kid ever have a gun? Or was this a Parkland situation? Where there was a team in the school doing shooting, which is the reason why you get students and teachers saying there were guys wearing all black with machine guns shooting. And they go, that's not Nicholas Cruz. So what's going on? You have a patsy who's been radicalized online. He's got all these guns, crashes his truck, gets chased by the police. I'm assuming in this scenario they've created, as he crashes his truck, he then has to load up with the guns and all the ammo and all that, and then run from the police, who would have obviously just shot him. Fuck, they'll shoot you if you have a pencil in your hair. You're going for your registration in your glove compartment, they'll shoot you. Some kid gets out of a car accident and starts running around with machine guns, and you're just going to let him go? You're going to let him run into a school? Are you out of your fucking mind? None of this makes sense. Which is the reason why it's off of the front page right now. Which is the reason why we're talking about a million other things right now instead of this. because you can't dwell, which is the reason why the Las Vegas thing was in the news and then out, even though it was the largest mass shooting in the history of America, so to speak, and it just fucking dropped off the news feed. Whereas January 6th, they just keep beating that dead horse to death. That happened to, you know, that happened a year and a half ago. It's still talked about. The Vegas thing, like 3 days after it happened, everyone went, shh. As soon as Agent Rouse got on the scene, everybody shut up. Cops wouldn't go in. Cops weren't allowed to go in. We've got a U.S. Army reconnaissance plane landing 3 minutes before the shooter crashed his car. And I use shooter in quotes. And left 2 minutes before shooter was killed. This was the first time this plane was in the area in the year 2022. So it wasn't like it was on a normal daily flight or weekly flight or anything like that. First time, just magically an Army recon plane flew in, landed a couple minutes before the crash, flew out after a couple minutes before the shooter was killed. Was the shooter killed? Was there a shooter? Was there a kid? Was Salvador Ramos even there? You see, I don't think Adam Lanza was a real person. There's no records of him. Was Salvador Ramos a real person? I mean, the story sounds unreal. What about the interviews with the parents? Have you seen the interview with the parents? It's a husband and wife, Hispanic couple, and the mom says, you know, is talking, and she said, you know, the daughter was in the school and everything. I'm like, huh? You mean your daughter? Does your daughter have a name? The reporter was asking about the kid and everything, and she was saying, you know, the daughter was in the school, and they're like, okay, well, okay, maybe. I'll just say, all right, Faye, maybe I'm going to let that slide. I'll let that, English is not my second, is not my first language. I'll let that misphrasing stand due to language barriers. Okay. I don't really, but I'll pretend like that's fine. But what about this? The reporter follows up and says, what grade was the daughter? And she goes, oh, we don't know that. We don't know. And she goes, well, how old was she? She said, oh, she was 12. And the reporter goes, oh, okay, so second grade. And the lady goes, yeah, second grade. You're like, you're not 12 in second grade. So again, people grieve in different ways. English is not their primary language. I get all that. I'm trying to be as understanding and non-conspiratorial as possible. I really, really am. But you don't just forget what grade your daughter is in when she's been in this grade the entire year. This is the end of the school year, not the first day of school. Not that the first day of school would be any excuse to not know what grade your kids are in. But even if I was, you know, again, I'm trying to give these people the benefit of the doubt. But we're talking about the end of the school year. She's been in this grade the whole time. What grade is she in? Tell me. If you don't know what grade your kids are in, either you're the dumbest person in the world, which is entirely possible, to be fair. She could just be really stupid and not know any better. But given the context of these interviews that I watched over and over, a variety of interviews, you know what one of the common denominators was? No tears. None. I saw a lot of people dabbing their eyes. I saw a lot of interviewers, reporters, doing the dabbing the eye thing themselves, which as was like a signal to the other people, to the person they're interviewing, to start pretending like with tissues. I saw no tears. None. Everybody grieves differently. Again, I understand. No tears? None of the parents? Impossible. It's impossible. They all did the same thing, though. They all relayed stories, great stories about, oh, she used to love to play with her dog, and they'd smile. Oh, he used to love to play baseball. Yeah, he loved to play baseball, and they'd smile. That's an easy emotion to fake. Faking smiling? Easy to fake. You have no acting experience at all. I'm going to need you to be happy. Ready? Go. Boom. Anyone can do it. I'm going to need you to be sad, and I'm going to need you to cry. Very difficult. It's very difficult to access that emotion when you don't really feel it. To cry on cue, I mean, unless you're Amber Heard, but of course she's a sociopath. No tears. Go watch him. Watch the interviews. I watched as many of them as I could. See the interview with a guy who, you know, where in the house where Salvador Ramos allegedly killed his or shot his grandmother? That is like a fucking smoking gun. No pun intended. Guy's like, they're like, what happened? And he's like, well, you know, like there was a big pool of blood there. And then they're like, oh, look, there's blood up there. There's blood like on the walls. He's like, yeah. He goes, and then he goes, well, did you clean it up? He goes, no, I had my, my wife did. And her good friend, I mean, her cousin. Everyone's like, what? This is the most traumatic thing that's ever happened in your life. And you don't know what you're talking about. Biden invited and then disinvited the Border Patrol agents. Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? Why would you do that? You know what they want to do to the school? Oh, this just, the minute I saw this article, the alarm bells went off for me. I was still relatively on the fence, and I always try to be as measured as I can. I want to dive in and just go, oh, it's a false flag. You know, I want to do that sort of like because I've seen so many of them. But I also realized that you could be walking into a trap and it pays to be patient and really take a look at things and not jump to conclusions, even though you really probably could. It's still best to say, no, nope, I'm going to wait. I'm going to look at as much as I can. I'm going to look for these things. And then we're going to, I'll make a determination right away. I mean, the minute I saw it, I thought, oh, well, there's some fuckery afoot for sure, because it's a school shooting and I have a long history of looking into school shootings and finding major, major problems with them. So by default, I'm sort of set to like not believe any of this stuff is real, but I still try to be as measured as I can. But I tell you what set me off when I went, okay, I've had enough. When the announcement came out that they wanted to bulldoze the school, that I said, okay, that's Connecticut all over again. Now that's how you destroy evidence. Go ahead and put me in Facebook jail again for that. They didn't bulldoze Columbine. I live down the street from it. Still there. Why didn't you bulldoze that school? I mean, after all, students are going to have to live with what happened in that school forever. Why didn't you bulldoze that one? The one that was on video where they showed the kids walking through with guns and all that stuff. Yes, they had FBI involvement. No surprise there in Columbine, but still.
You didn't bulldoze that school. I'm looking for certain keys. I'm looking for certain things. And this comes from experience a little bit, but it also comes from knowing the right people and knowing Ole Damegaard. We've talked about this before. And Ole explained to me two of the things that he looks for when you're analyzing a mass casualty event that's being pushed by the media. There's obviously the video footage of it, right? And that goes out and gets played in like on a loop on the networks. But then there's still images. Those are newspapers, magazines, internet, those things that you see. Lots of pictures, lots of photographs of all of these events. Somebody has to make a decision to pick the one that will be the cover of Time magazine or the image that goes with the main story on CNN.com or whatever. And he said he's always looking for bicycles and shoes. Wow, really? Bicycles and shoes? He goes, yeah. When you see bicycles on the ground or you see shoes in the picture, that is a nod, a wink, that they're the ones doing it. Let's go to the White House press office, where Jen Psaki's diversity hire replacement, who is failing miserably, was put on the bench for the day in order to make way for movie star Matt McConaughey. Now, I like Matt McConaughey. I like his movies. He seems like a decent guy. He doesn't seem like a globalist scumbag. But you know, I think I might have changed my mind about him when I saw him do the one thing that they all do in those press conferences after you have fuckery afoot in these shootings, and that is duping the light. That is when you smile when you're delivering really bad news because your subconscious brain knows you're pulling a fast one on everybody that's watching, and you subconsciously smile. And he did it during his press conference, talking about all that. But that wasn't what really got my attention to focus on that press conference. That wasn't it. I found that as a result of digging into the press conference, but I might have been dismissive of the press conference if it wasn't for his wife, Camilla Alves, who was holding a pair of shoes. These were green Converse shoes that were worn by a 12-year-old girl who lost her life in that school. Thoughts and prayers. Definitely sucks, right? Problem is, those shoes were brand new. And those shoes weren't the color of shoes that that girl had. Because we have the pictures of the girl wearing the shoes. They're not the same color. So I ask you, why are you bringing shoes as props to these events? Is Ole Damegaard just lucky? He's not lucky. He's the best I've ever met in solving these riddles. He's so good that he got contacted by one of the guys that's involved in doing the false flags that said, "You're doing a really good job, man. You're really good at what you do. By the way," he said, "if you want to know what to look for bicycles." He said, look for signs. We'll tell you where we're going next. You'll find them. So We've got gun control legislation immediately after the shooting, right on schedule. But this was an interesting one because it wasn't limited to America. Did you notice that the gun control legislation came down in Canada as well? And Chile. A random school shooting happens in some other country and then your country decides to get rid of guns because of that? That doesn't make any sense. Unless it's part of an agenda. Which is funny because the school shootings and the gun control legislation doesn't need to make these things up. They don't need to make this up to have legitimate complaints about gun violence in America, because it's funny that the Uvalde school shooting was the biggest story in the world, but what also happened that around the same time was 51 people were shot in Chicago over Memorial Day weekend. That didn't get mentioned. Why not? You have a perfect opportunity to demonize guns and do all that stuff. Why? 4 people were killed inside a Tulsa hospital when some maniac went in there looking for a doctor that botched his back surgery and shot 4 people. Shooter was black. Didn't fit the narrative. 51 people shot in Chicago over Memorial Day weekend. Doesn't fit the narrative. But I said I would mention the common denominator. Common denominators, plural, that happen during these shootings. So I would say this. This is, if you want to be on the lookout, there'll be more of these. If you want to know what to look for, you can kind of call this a checklist. This is a checklist. Not every shooting will have all of these, but every shooting will have at least a couple of these. Some of them have more. Some of them have, you know, quite a few. But here's the checklist. We'll just, and it's in no particular order of importance. Active shooter simulations. We've talked about that. Drills going live. This happens all the time. That's why I have the integrated capstone event hand guide, the manual for the Connecticut 2-day event. But you didn't know I had that, did you? Where it shows the schedule of what's happening this day and what's happening the next day. Active shooter simulations. If you've had one at your school, keep your eyes open. And if you have one at your school and a shooting happens at your school at the same time that you have an active shooting drill, what you have is a false flag. And let me be crystal clear. Not every school that does active shooter drills is involved in a false flag. Not everyone. They do. They're unfortunately becoming more and more popular. I mean, that might not be the best word, but they're happening more and more to have the drills, not the actual things, but the drills. And again, this goes back to my feeling on, it's not inherently evil to have drills about these things. You want to practice what to do in the event of an emergency. So I'm not saying that having a drill necessarily means anything. But when you have an event and then you go back and retroactively look and see what they were doing, you, a lot of times, almost every time, you'll find that at some point there had been a drill at that school. And Uvalde was no different. So there's that. You will find association with law enforcement, a common thread that runs through a lot of these. The shooter was known to the feds. The shooter was known. The shooter was radicalized by the feds. The shooter was involved in a chat room. The shooter had been contacted years earlier by the feds, but they lost track of him or they stopped following him or whatever. That happens quite a bit. And it's not normal. Family connected to the military information terror complex, like David Hogg. I realize he wasn't a shooter. He was a narrative creator, and a bad one at that, because he's a liar and his story doesn't make any sense. And he told conflicting stories, but his dad is a federal, his dad works for the FBI. So you'll find that a lot of these people have family ties to intelligence. Again, not all of them. But once something happens and you look at the person and you go back through their history, you'll find that. It's very difficult to spot it and know it in advance of it happening. But once it happens and you're able to sort of backtrack through their catalog of life and look at all the things, you'll find these common denominators. Online radicalization, we've talked about that. Being in chat rooms, talking about killing people and talking about doing stuff. Talking to glowies, talking to feds online and things like that. Yeah, man, you know, this world just, it's so fucked right now. Like, someone really needs to, like, take this stuff into their own hands. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, if somebody's talking to you like that online, that's a fed. Okay? They're trying to radicalize you. Or if someone's talking to your kids like that, that's a setup. Psychological care provided by the state. Early on, were they in foster care? Were they ever institutionalized? Were they ever under the care of the state in a mental institution? Were they ever receiving psychological counseling by state-involved actors, state people? Child Protective Services? Was CPS involved? Expensive weapons? Weapons that are... It's not that they're exceptionally expensive. It's just that they're a little bit too expensive for the perpetrator to have at that moment in their life. Again, it's not a deal killer. You know, it's not the smoking gun, these guns, but it is, it's a piece of a bigger picture. One of the common denominators you'll see are a bunch of physically weak kids doing seemingly impossible things with automatic weapons. You know, shooting, having 27 guns, loading 500 rounds with them, and then firing indiscriminately for an hour, nobody stopping them when they're like 108 pounds, soaking wet, you know, like little twerpy kids. We've got Adam Lanza, if he even existed. We've got Nicholas Cruz. We've got James Holmes. We've got Salvador Ramos. We've got Peyton Gendron in Buffalo. All these guys, they're all like weak looking, you know, brain scrambled kids that don't look like they look like the last kid picked for kickball. And yet they're going to be the ones lugging hundreds of, you know, 100 pounds of ammunition around or all these, it just doesn't add up. You'll find a common denominator, stand down orders. And the most common thread that you will find is that the shooter was on SSRI drugs. That stands for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Eric Harris of Columbine, Zoloft and Luvox, 12 killed, 23 wounded. Jeff Weiss, 16 years old, Minnesota, Prozac, 10 dead, 12 wounded. Corey Badsgard, 16-year-old, Washington, Paxil, took 23 classmates hostage. Chris Fetters, 13, Prozac, killed his aunt. Kip Kinkle, 15, Oregon, Prozac and Ritalin, killed two classmates, injured 22. Luke Woodham, 16, Prozac, killed mom and two classmates. Michael Carneal, 14, Ritalin, killed three students, injured five. Andrew Golden, 11, and Mitchell Johnson, 14, Ritalin, killed five students, wounded 10. TJ Solomon, 15, Georgia, Ritalin, six classmates, wounded. Elizabeth Bush, 13, Pennsylvania, Paxil, school shooting. Neil Furr, Prozac, shooting at Jewish school in Los Angeles. Matty Sari, 22 culinary students shot or 22 years old. He was a culinary student. He was on benzos, 10 students and a teacher killed. Steve Kazmanzarek, Northern Illinois University, Prozac, Xanax, Ambien, 5 dead, 21 wounded. SSRI drugs have very well-known side effects, which include psychotic behavior and suicidal thoughts. Aggressive, unusually aggressive behavior. But they never talk about that. The media, who gets 60% of their ad revenue from the pharmaceutical industry, never makes that connection. Do you know why? Because they're paid not to make that connection. It's obvious to everybody that's paying attention that pharmaceutical psychotropic drugs are the largest common denominator in all of these shootings, whether it gets publicized or not, whether the shooting, some of the shootings on this list you probably have never even heard of. But it is, it's a thread that runs through all of it. So let's go back to the Bill Cooper quote again. After everything I've said, this from Bill Cooper, once again, the government encouraged the manufacture and importation of firearms for the criminals to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms. Using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients. In a process called Orion, the CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. This plan is well underway, and so far, it is working perfectly. Sad to say, but Bill Cooper was right. It is working perfectly. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggressions. You can go to the website, The Octopus of Global Control. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.